We're going to take our text this evening from the 147th Psalm, so Psalm 147, and Psalm 147, and verse number 1. It says, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground." Let's pray together. Dear Lord, thank you for your help thus far today. Thank you for the message this morning and the emphasis of it. Lord, I pray as we continue the theme of revival that you would work in our hearts individually this evening and help us in a very special way. Help the Word of God, help me to be able to deliver it clearly. And I pray that your message would speak truthfully to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. We are, of course, this pastor preached this morning about revival, and then the last really couple times I preached, thinking that we were kind of preparing for revival, I preached about two different messages about a church revival. Acts chapter number 4, the first church there in Jerusalem experienced a sense of revival. In the book of Revelation, chapter number 3, the church at Laodicea was in dire need of revival, and they had one really thing in common between them. They both needed to get to a place of complete reliance on the God of heaven. Amen. And if a church gets to that place, you know what, we'll have revival. If we get to that place where we're fully reliant on Him, we can say we have had revival. Tonight, I want to preach a little differently. I want to preach more to the individual. And I want to preach tonight on the revival of the broken heart. The revival of the broken heart. You know, there's a lot of, the Bible is a book of revival. If you look at it and you realize there are terms that describe the same thing that we talk about when we're talking about revival, right. You find that revival is a something that's throughout the Scriptures. God is always working to bring His people back to Himself. That is always taking place. It's taking place in the Old Testament with the nation of Israel. And Psalm 147, as a matter of fact, the psalm itself is about the great revival of the nation of Israel, which is really yet to happen in its fullness. For example, in chapter 147, in verse number 2, he speaks of Israel's rebuilding and regathering. He said, "The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel." What Pastor Townsley preached this morning and the future promises attached to that from the book of Hosea, those things are being spoken of here, that time where Israel is brought back to the one that redeemed them. And verse number 13, he speaks of their strengthening, that's revival. For he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates, he hath blessed thy children within thee. Revival involves the strengthening of that which is weak. And that's what he will do for Israel one day. He speaks of their establishment of peace in verse number 14. He maketh peace in thy borders and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. He would take what is turmoil and turn it into peace. He speaks of their revival in His word in verse number 19. The Bible says, "He showeth His word unto Jacob, His statutes and His judgments unto Israel." These people were supposed to be people of His word, and yet they departed from His word. But there will be a day again where the Word of God flows freely through that nation, and it is magnified through that nation, and the Lord Himself is magnified through that nation. Israel, through the Bible, in its history, is a nation of revival. It's also a nation of promised revival because of what God has said he will do for them in their midst. But in the middle of all of this, I want you to look at a personal promise, a personal statement that he makes that certainly the scriptures also echo in other places. And I want you to see it in verse number 3. The Bible says, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Now certainly there is a national need for Israel and their collective heart to be healed together and their wounds to be healed. But there is also a very much a personal application to this. The fact that he is the healer of the broken in heart. I think a lot of times there are times where we as individuals need a revival, and it's because of this. We are struggling in our heart. Our heart fails us. Phrases like, why does it matter? You know, what's the use? You know, why do I need to keep committing myself to this? You know, why do I need to keep doing this for the Lord? Why does it even matter anymore? Phrases like, I may as well quit. You know what those things are? Those things are all indicators of a brokenness of the heart that needs to be addressed. There are circumstances of our country, beginning 6 months ago or so with the coronavirus, I think it has caused many to find themselves at the place of a broken heart. I don't know, I'm like you, I don't know what statistics in about any arena to believe or not, but I do know when I've read enough about something that there's a reality to it. And I have read just even this week the statistics on the suicide rates that have escalated and on things like domestic issues in homes that have escalated, and they are corresponding with the isolation that has happened over the last 6 or 7 months. And those things tell us that people are suffering from a broken heart. There's a pandemic of broken hearts that have come with the pandemic that has beset us physically. And you know, even as God's people, we're not immune from those things. We're not immune for the things that cause us to question, that cause us to doubt. Now, spiritual depression is a reality that everyone, whether it's coronavirus or not, that everyone will likely deal with from time to time. There'll be a time where the old accuser, the oppressor, that is Satan, will come against the soul, your soul and your heart, and he will beat you down in a way where your brother or your sister in Christ might not know what's going on. They may not be dealing with what you're dealing with, and you might be able to smile, and you might be able to, I was going to say shake a hand, I mean do an elbow bump or wave or whatever you do now. You might be able to greet someone in the Lord and make it look like everything is okay and everything is good, but inside it is turmoil because of some reason, something that's afflicted you. Friend, that broken heart is the enemy of Christian victory. If we allow that to exist and allow that to continue, and we don't deal with it, that wounded spirit, that broken heart, those are things that can derail very good people from the Lord's work. I want you to notice, launching out of this passage this evening, I want you to notice the concept of the hidden wounds. Hidden wounds. He's talking about the nation of Israel, and you could certainly see things that were going wrong in the nation of Israel as you look at their history. But he's talking in verse 3, and he deals with something that is far deeper than things that you can see. They are hidden things. They are things that maybe even when you read this and you know of Israel's history and you know of their national defiance of the Lord, you wonder who in the world would even exhibited a broken heart. But I think of prophets like Jeremiah. Jeremiah thundering forth the word of God in the midst of this nation that had gone away from God. And while people embraced the immorality and embraced the sin all around him, there was a prophet. You know what? That prophet suffered from a broken heart every now and then. Right. We see it in his writings. And so there's hidden wounds that can beset us. There's hidden things that can afflict us, that can keep us from having a vibrant walk with the Lord. Where we once had that bounce in our step spiritually, so to speak. And you know, the Sunday night crowd, you know what I'm talking about. Those times where the victory was real and things were on a high place and it seemed like everything we touched was just successful in the Lord. And those times don't last always. They don't always, that's not the everyday for every believer. And there are times where we wake up and we realize, hey, I'm wounded inside. I might be able to smile when my brother or sister in Christ says, how are you doing today? I might be able to smile and say, oh, I'm doing great. But inside there's a wound that no one can see. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse 23 says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, that's completely or fully, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He prays for the spirit, that's the inner man, that's where your God consciousness is. He prays for that. He prays for our soul, that's the realm in which we do interact with others, our intellect, our emotion, and our will. And he prays for our body. That's what we see. And so often when we look at someone else, we make an assessment about how they're doing by how their body is. Now, I've been, had a couple people today come in and talk about, they said something about, boy, it's, no fun getting old. That's what they said. And they made that comment, made some sort of comment along those lines. And what they're making a comment about in good conversation, in casual conversation, what they're making a comment is something about that realm that we see, the body. But I wonder how many people we greet, and while they might be willing and able to talk about the things that are breaking down in their body, they might not have any negative report about their body, but there's hidden things that are afflicting them, that are causing them to be discouraged in their walk with the Lord, that are causing them to be beaten down in their walk with the Lord, causing them to be weak where they once were strong, to be just mundane where they once were vibrant. Those are the hidden wounds that he is talking about here. He's talking about the kind of wound that cannot be looked at under a microscope. It's the unseen burden that so many carry on a regular basis. These hidden wounds can be caused by a number of things. Keep your finger here in Psalm 147. We're going to look at a couple of other psalms. Look at Psalm 38. Psalm 38. Psalm 38 and verse 8, he says this, I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. He talks about the disquietness of his heart, the unsettledness of his inner man. This is a psalm of David. I mean, a powerful man on the outside in his body. But he's talking about the unsettledness of his inner man. So what caused that in David? What's the reason for it? He tells us. Look at verse 3. We'll also look at verse 5. Look at verse 3 first and then verse 5. He says in verse 3, there is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of what? Because of my sin. Verse number 5, he says, my wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. Amen. Here David described the disquietness of his heart or the unsettledness of his heart, and he directly linked it to the sin of his body. Now, that's an unfortunate reality, that often the brokenness within can come from sin that is without. As we were thinking about today and thinking about what to preach this evening, and honestly, one of my big goals was not to preach whatever Pastor Townsley preached this morning. I mean, when we were talking about revival, that was one of my big goals. But I had several different things kind of on my heart and several things that I was meditating on. And I was thinking about the matter of our personal self being seen before the Lord and being shown who we are. You know what I think? I think that for us to accept the news about the reality of who we are is one of the most difficult things that we ever deal with in life. I think it's easier almost for us to accept the news about the death of a loved one than it is for us to accept the news about the reality of who we are. I don't know about you, I like to think I'm doing okay, don't you? But you know, there's some times where it's unavoidable. We realize I am falling short here. I have messed up here. And you know, if we don't deal with that, you know what that leads to? That leads to the disquietness of the heart, as he said there, or a broken heart, or a wounded heart, or a wounded spirit. Go to Psalm 69, 69th Psalm. We see another cause, another thing that can produce one of those hidden wounds. Psalm 69, and look at verse number 18. Psalm 69 and verse 18, he said, "Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me of mine enemies." Verse 19, "Thou hast known my reproach and my shame, and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness, and I look for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none." See, in Psalm 38, that sin can cause a broken heart. But also in Psalm 69, we see that the enemy can cause a broken heart. The reproaches of the enemy, the psalmist said, the reproaches of the enemy caused his heart to be broken. The encroachment of the adversaries, verse number 19, those things caused a broken heart. You know, sometimes we need to turn the news off. We need to not read the news. We need to not talk to whoever knows the news or whatever. Because all you see is, you see about the things of God being undermined and being attacked and all of the things that are taking place in our country. You know, if we dwell on that, it can cause a broken heart, a wounded heart. There are some in here that have had personal experiences with that, where someone, some individual has come against you because you're a believer. Not for nothing else other than you're a believer, and they have come out with some attack because of being a believer, and those things can cause wounds that no one can see. That feeling of loneliness, that Elijah syndrome that he dealt with as he fled to the cave, as God would speak to him in a still small voice, that bout with loneliness, that I'm the only one that has not bowed the knee to Baal, that syndrome can create a wounded heart or a broken heart. Jeremiah said this, I'll just read it to you in Jeremiah chapter number 23, verse 9. He said, "Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets." He says, "All my bones shake. I'm like a drunken man, and like a man whom wine hath overcome, because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness." If you read that passage, you'll find out that Jeremiah was talking about the lying prophets, the ones that merely told the people what they wanted to hear to make them feel good. And Jeremiah was so disappointed by their lack of taking a stand and their lack of speaking the truth that he said, my heart is broken within me because of these people. You know, disappointment in others can cause a broken heart, a wounded spirit. Jeremiah found himself there. I wonder, just noting the prophetic nature of Psalm 147 and noting Jeremiah's plight and noting Jeremiah's ministry, you just can't help but wonder if Jeremiah himself ever contemplated and meditated about Psalm 147 in some way, knowing, hey, he's the one that heals the brokenhearted. He's the one that can bring revival, and he's the one that can individually heal the brokenhearted. We're talking about these hidden wounds. You know, there's a warning about a broken heart. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 15, in verse number 13, it said, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Now that's a deep thing when the spirit of man is broken. You ever met anyone, spoken to them? You walk away, you might have not have thought of it at the time, but you would describe it and say their spirit is just broken. I mean, they don't have any zest for anything. They don't have any, you know, zest for life. They have a broken spirit. Proverbs 17 and verse 22 says this: a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Indicates that internal struggle, if not dealt with and if not healed properly, can even lead to physical issues. He said it drieth up the bones. So these hidden wounds are serious things. They're things that afflict us along life's journey. I gave an example of three areas where they can come from, but the truth is there are more. There are other things that we could come up that can hurt and that can wound a believer, and that in doing so can sideline a believer and can put a believer, an individual believer, in need of personal revival. Maybe you're there tonight. I'm not talking about some of this stuff today where, you know, you sit down with someone and they have you, you know, recount and rehash everything that ever happened bad in your life to try to find solutions for that. Friend, be very cautious about that. If the Lord has put it under the blood, you ought to leave it there. If He has put it in the depths of the sea, you ought to leave it there. I'm talking about the things that happen that come along our way that we deal with, that cause us to be wounded, that might cause us to lessen our enthusiasm for the things of the Lord. It might cause us to have the fire that once burned within to dwindle down to a flicker. That's what I'm talking about. Those hidden wounds, things that nobody can see. Maybe there's somebody in here tonight. Maybe there's somebody listening on the internet this evening. I know that many have taken advantage of that. We're certainly glad that they have. And you know, maybe there's someone listening over that, and the reason that you are listening there is not because of even the fear of a virus or anything of that sense, but there's been a wound that you're just, you know, you feel like it's just easier not to be around the people of God. Listen, you need to take care of that. Say, well, how do we do it? Well, so we've seen the hidden wounds. I want you to, secondly, out of the psalm, see the healer of these wounds. He's talking about the God of Israel, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth their wounds. In order to heal the hidden things that humans cannot see, you need someone who can see and understand those wounds. If you had a pain in your arm, and maybe you fell, or maybe you jammed your finger or something, and it was something that was afflicting you, you would go to a doctor and they might give you an x-ray or an MRI, depending on what it was, to try to see the issue and figure out what it is. Well, friend, what we're talking about tonight is something. You need someone that can see deeper than the wounds of the flesh and can see right straight to the soul and the spirit of man. I told you recently, it bears repeating because of how it fits here, about my grandfather's testimony, how he was at work and he was in conflict in his heart and in his spirit, and he went to his boss and he said, I either need to go see a preacher or a psychiatrist or a doctor. And thankfully he went to the preacher first, because the preacher is the one that told him about the Lord, the one that could deal with the real issue of his heart. There is a healer of these wounds. We need to go to the right one. We need to go to the right spot. We need to go to the one who Hebrews chapter number 4 talks about. His word, the word of God, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It says, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. You might sit here tonight and go, I'm hearing this message, or maybe you heard something this morning that Pastor Townsley preached, or in a message recently, and you go, you know, this message dealt with something. How did he know that? We get asked that occasionally as a preacher. It's like you were preaching right to me. How did you know that? I didn't know that, but the Word of God can speak to a heart in a way that no other person or no other industry or no other business or profession can. It can pierce even, the Bible says, to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Let Him diagnose the problem. Let Him put His finger on the problem so that it can be dealt with. God knows the problem, and also God has the solution to the problem. You ought to just write that down. So that's as simple as you can get, but you ought to just write it down somewhere where you'll see it. Whatever the problem is, whether it's something internal or something external, you can know this as a believer. God knows the problem, and God has the solution to the problem. The preacher might not always. As a matter of fact, very rarely will the preacher have it all together. You know, your brother or sister in Christ might not, but God knows the problem, and God also knows the solution to the problem. Look at verses 4, 5, and 6. He immediately goes from talking about the healing the wounds, the broken in heart and binding up their wounds. He says in verse 4, he telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all out by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Why would we go somewhere that is not God? He said He knows the number of the stars. The scientists and astronomers are constantly finding, you know, new things out there, and it's new to them, and they see these amazing things, go, wow, look at that. But you know what? God knew it was there before they saw it. And not only that, God knows the very number of them all. He knows number one, and He knows number whatever the last one is. He knows them all because He created them all. And yet, in that vastness and that vastness of His greatness, He is so great that He even knows every cell of your being. He's the one that can heal those wounds. I want you to hold your place again here, and if you can, just turn to Isaiah chapter number 53. If you're not familiar with the order of the books of the Bible, if you're in Psalms, you're going to go towards the end of the Old Testament, just a couple of books away from, or a few books away from Psalms. Isaiah chapter number 53. Isaiah 53 is a tremendous prophetic pronouncement about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 53, in verse number 3, he says, as the prophet peers through the veil of history that is yet to happen, and he's given a glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ suffering for our sins, he says in verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The reason in Psalm 147... that the pronouncement could be made that he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds is because of the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ, who the Bible says was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Hebrews tells us that we have a high priest that's been touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows what sorrow is. He knows what grief is. He knows what these wounds are that we struggle with and that we deal with. The Bible then tells us that Jesus bore our griefs and He carried our sorrows. He's already carried it for you. And then the Bible tells us that He was wounded for our transgressions and He was bruised for our iniquities. Jesus died, friend. He died on the cross so that He could be the healer of wounds. There is no resolution outside of the restitution that is found through the cross. Do you know why we see such, for lack of a better word, insanity all around us. I mean, just chaos. Maybe chaos is the better word to use. The recklessness, the chaos, that's the better way to describe it. Do you know why we see that chaos around us? It's because wounded people are trying to find a resolution for the wound without first embracing the restitution that the cross provides. There is no resolving of the wounds until we have first been to the cross. Because that is where the one who is the healer of the wounds bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. And when we see him hanging there on that tree by faith, we understand that he died for us and that he rose again, conquering death. We realize that he is the one that is indeed able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. He is the one that is able to identify with our grief. He's the one that is able to bear our wounds. He is the one that is able to provide the healing that is spoken of in Psalm 147. Friend, the cross was absolutely necessary. It was God finishing the work, completing the work to heal the wound that you might be carrying with you today. 2,000 years ago, it was settled. It was taking place. You need to go to him. You need to start with him. Now, are there things in life? I mean, have there ever been a time in life where a person has had to go to another person and make things right? I mean, the Bible deals with that. Matthew chapter 18 deals with offenses from between brothers. I mean, does that ever happen? Certainly it happens. But friend, when that happens, before that ever takes place, we need to first make sure that we're right with the Lord who died for us on the cross. Because that's where there is no resolution until the restitution of the cross is realized. Maybe there's someone here that is listening or on the internet that is listening and you're wounded. But it's because you've never truly trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You say, well, is that like a snap of the fingers and all of life goes away and all of life, you know, just, you know, all the bad things vanish and it's just, you know, daisies and, you know, whistling through a field all the time. Is that what happened? No. But when you've experienced the forgiveness of the cross, things that are outside of that can suddenly start to have perspective and can suddenly start to be made right again. There is no restitution without it. That's what we see around us in the chaos. People who are wounded, but they're not willing to accept the solution. He's the healer of our wounds. The third thing I want you to notice, found in verse 6 here, it's the help for the wounded. Back in Psalm 147. The help for the wounded. The Bible says, the Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. It says, he lifteth up the weak. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. That's a simple verse. I mean, about everybody in here, if we gave you a couple minutes, you could probably memorize it. But what a profound statement. The meek he rewards, the wicked he casts down. You know, that we just trust that. We really, you know, that help us go a long way, just that right there. The true help for the wounded heart can only come from God. And verse 6 tells us how we get that help. He says, the Lord lifteth up the meek. Matthew chapter number 5 and verse 5 says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We look through Scripture, we find constantly the Lord using those who are meek. Jesus himself is described as meek, and Moses was described as meek. And you see here that the solution is found. The healing comes for those who are meek. In a world that we have emphasized to fight, to go after, to smear, to roar at, and that's the solution to your problem. The Lord says, no, the healing will come to the meek. The ones who are willing to have that strength, but yet under control. We must be willing to accept his solution then for the healing. If we go before him meekly, we must be willing to accept his solution for the healing. You know, all of our problems are not immediately vaporized, are they? We need to understand God's got a solution for it. Right. God's got a short-term plan, and God's also got a long-term plan. We need to trust that. So I want answers now. It might not be in God's plan for you to get an answer now. The meek, though, understand that. That's encompassed here in the meek. The meek are not, we don't go to God demanding something. We go to God looking for genuine help. Understanding the solution might not be now. The solution might not even be something that I'm asking for. We must be willing to lay aside our personal feelings even in order to adopt His mind. Philippians chapter number 2 says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, a wound can happen. But a lot of times, for me, the wound is made worse by how I think about the wound. The wound is made worse by me trying to address it. Instead of surrendering my mind to the mind of Christ, that's meekness. Surrendering my strength to the strength of Christ. Surrendering my power to the power of the Holy Spirit. And letting Him do the work that's within us. How many times, you think of this, I mean, I could go to a spot this very week where I was afflicted and for something. And you know, I dealt with it and I was, you know, struggling. And then I did? I claimed the promise from the Word of God. I went and I prayed about it. And you know what He said? Philippians chapter 4, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now why would I even spend a few hours not taking advantage of what He has said? See, we want solutions. We want things to be dealt with. But He said that the meek are the ones that He lifts up. Lord, lifted up the meek. We must be willing to acknowledge that He is God and that we are not. You know, the safest place to be, we've always said, is in the center of God's will. But I'll change that just a little bit and say it this way. The peaceful place to be is in the center of God's will. When I used to struggle with worry or something when I was a kid, I say a kid probably getting up in the teenage years, there was something my dad used to tell me. He would say to me, son, just go and rest in the Lord. Just rest in Him. Rest in the fact that He is on the throne. Rest in the fact that He is true and that His promises are true. Make yourself consciously aware of His presence in your life and just rest in it. You know, so often the wounds that we deal with, they manifest themselves at night when it's quiet. We can't think about anything else. And we always now have a distraction. We have that phone, or we have that technology, or we have that device, and that's a distraction that we want to go to when we should go to the Lord. Why? Because He lifts up the meek. You know, don't confuse some sort of mind trick with true healing. What I mean is, don't confuse, all right, well, I'm gonna sit here, and this is very 2020, I know. I'm just going to watch a YouTube video to take my mind off of things. I'm gonna look at this, and you know, I've got it right here. I'm going to look at it to take my mind off of things, and it gives us a temporary respite. It gives us a temporary sense of peace or a sense of tranquility, but it's nothing more than a temporary band-aid when God is there and able to provide true healing if we will just fall on our face, even if we need to, before Him and spend time in His presence, just letting Him be God. Amen. Where we get back to what we've been preaching on, revival comes for the church this way, and revival comes to the individual this way, when we get to a place where we're just willing to let Him be God again. Give Him back all the things that we've taken. Surrender to Him all the things that He has asked for. And say, God, You're in charge. You know, friend, to that person, the Bible says He lifteth up the meek. The brokenhearted have a helper in the Savior. We must run to Him. and continue to run to Him until the wound is healed. When healing comes, we can then go forward in His might and power. Verse number 11, it says, "The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, in them that hope in His mercy." When the healing comes, we can go forward in His might and power. Friend, don't run away. Rather, run toward Him. Amen. There's people, I guarantee you, even in, we have this idea, and but I've seen it, it's not exactly true. We have this idea that, you know, the Northeast, New England, it's, you know, a bunch of people who really don't know the Lord. You know what I have found to be true? I have found that if you were to go through the neighborhoods and you talk to enough people, you come across people, even in our neighborhoods, who would say something like, "You know what? I used to attend church, but they were wounded." Maybe not by somebody even in the church. It could be something outside of the church. I'm talking about just something. They were wounded. And instead of running to the Lord, they ran away from the Lord. And that has, and it never gets better when they run away from the Lord. I've talked, I don't know how many people like that that I've met on the street or met at a home. I don't know how many people I've talked like that to. And that is not one of them that will say, "Yeah, boy, things really got better when I started running away from God." Friend, He said in verse number 3, "He healeth the broken in heart, and He bindeth up their wounds." There might be somebody here tonight. You say, "I'm wounded. I've been going through the motions. I've been putting on that Sunday morning smile. I've been greeting my brothers and sisters in Christ. But inside, I am suffering what the psalmist said, the disquietness of the heart. Things are not inside like they look on the outside." Friend, you need to get alone with the Lord and open yourself up to Him afresh and anew and say, "Lord, I'm trusting in that healing. You've already provided it for us on Calvary. I'm going to trust You to guide me along the way. You said You lift up the meek. So Lord, I'm putting myself in Your presence. Help me to rest there." He lifts up the meek. Dear Lord, we thank You for this day.